are breaking down episodes 1 and 2, Severance and Habeas Corpus. Henry Deaver is back in town. Castle Rock makes you do crazy things. And there's a man in the cage. What? Stick around.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Ah, yes, this song, so mellow. It is premiere night. We finally get this. I know, I don't know about you girls, but I have been waiting to watch this show. And yes. I know that we are only covering episodes 1 and 2 tonight, but I so wanted to just watch all 3 that they got out.
It took so much self-control not to start the next one.
I know. The only reason I didn't is because I literally didn't have time. Otherwise, I probably would have broke it down and watched it.
I'm your host, Veronica Valencia, and I have a great group of panelists with me tonight. To my left, we have...
Zia here.
And everybody. We also have
April, and I'm excited to get spooky with you and start talking about all of this.
Coming up later in the show, we will be talking all about the Shawshank Prisoner, Henry Deaver's past, and what is it that's so mysterious about Castle Rock, as well as a few Easter eggs that we picked up along the way. But before we get into any of that, ladies, we got to see the first 2 episodes. What are our overall thoughts? How are we feeling?
I loved the way they did it because they draw you in with all these little, like, what's going on here? What's going on there? But I also love that they give you just a little bit of instant gratification. Like, you, at the end of episode 2, you find out, he says, you know, I don't want to go too far ahead into it, but I was like, ooh, okay, well, that, you know, answers that question, but it still unravels a whole bunch more. And I love the way that they did that.
Yeah, I'm so excited to start, and I love all the Easter eggs that they throw in there, but it doesn't feel forced, where it's just like, aw, that's a nice little nod if you get the reference, but you're not hurt if you don't, and I really appreciate that.
Exactly. Going off of what you're saying, I noticed that some people were, obviously, who are Stephen King fans or diehards, are very excited about all the little things that they're, you know, putting in, but I feel like even if you just like his... like Stephen King's like mythology, but not necessarily like know every little detail, you can still watch and get that like spooky feeling. Mm-hmm. And I love that it's made for like all these types of audiences, like veterans or not, of his work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So I definitely love that. And I also love how they go right into telling us about these characters.
Yes. And I was surprised that we saw the mysterious Shawshank prisoner, Bill Skarsgård, so early. I was expecting for them to kind of take a while to get there, but he was in the first episode. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Did he not say, like, maybe in previous interviews that he was going to be appeared in the first episode? I don't think he did. I was just curious if you heard anything.
No, I'm not sure. I didn't. Maybe they were doing that on purpose as like, when are you going to get him? We don't know.
Yeah,
we do know. First episode.
Right away.
Yeah. But speaking of Bill Skarsgård, let's go into his character, which is literally just Shawshank Prisoner. He has no name. Like, I looked it up. No name. He is as mysterious as can be. Mm-hmm. So we obviously open up on a man, as we find out, is the warden of Shawshank Prison, and his name is Dale Acey, and basically, you know, he kind of...
I have to say, without being too graphic about this, I guess, that's a very creative way to kill yourself.
Yeah.
I was both horrified and impressed. I would never have thought of that.
It was very elaborate, if you take a step back to look at, like, everything he had to set up.
Absolutely.
When they opened it up, I immediately recognized the actor Terry O'Quinn from Lost, and I was like, oh, I'm so excited he's in this, and I was like, there's no way he's going to kill him off right away, but they totally went for it.
Yeah.
I was surprised. When they show that dog and he stops and looks at him, I'm like, oh, maybe this will make him reconsider, but nope.
That's what I thought as well, and absolutely not.
It's so funny, too, because I know that they might not intentionally be trying this, but literally every time I see a dog, I'm just like, Cujo.
Yeah,
something about Cujo.
Definitely.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. That's probably not their aim. It probably was just a dog, or maybe it was, but that's where I initially go to.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so we see that because of what happened to him, they bring in a new warden, and she basically finds out, like, there's this uninhabited part of the prison that has been, you know, vacant for many, many years, and it's all, like, gross and torn down and everything. And the officer who goes down there, and... the actor, I believe, is Noel Fisher, I know him from another show, and that's kind of, I was always referring to him as to his other character in another show.
Mickey.
I was always referring him to Mickey.
Yeah.
But he goes down there, and he basically finds Shawshank Prisoner in, like, this weird underground cage, and it's like, not only is it already, like, a hole in the ground, but then he's, like, sectioned off to, like, not to, like, barely a quarter of it in a little, like, iron cage. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, not, again, like, probably not what they're going for, but the fact that Bill Skarsgård also portrayed Pennywise in the 2017 It movie, and he was literally down in a cage, I was like, they all float down here.
Yeah.
I was like, it's probably not a reference, but that's what I thought.
I mean, they might unintentionally make you think that. That's not meaning to, but it's very subtle. I kept thinking the entire time that he was going down there, I'm like, why are you going down there by yourself? Mm-hmm. Like, you're literally going down into a bunker where there's, you don't know what's down there, and somebody could just close it on you. No one would ever go find you. Like, you would just, that would be it.
Yeah.
Crazy man.
And the other officer who went down with him was just, like, so far behind.
He went to sleep.
He was laying in those gross beds.
How do you sleep down there? Yes. It's like, yeah, it was all gross. It was probably unkind, all kinds of unmentionables on those things. I was like, why are you going to sit on it? But, you know, it's not my decision.
You do you, ma'am.
Yeah.
He really needed that nap. He was really tired, guys.
And so the Shawshank Prisoner, he finds him, and, you know, he basically asks for Henry Deaver, who we will talk about a little bit later. But it's kind of strange, because this is an uninhabited part of the prison, and so it's like, what's this guy doing down here? How long has he been down here? Has, you know, because at this point, we don't know how he got down there, so you kind of assume maybe he hasn't been down there that long, but long enough that you can see physical changes in his body from the lack of, you know, hydration and food.
Sunlight as well, yeah.
He's very pale. You know, he's got, like, dirt and a beard going on when they find him. So I was just like, this poor man. Like, I don't necessarily think I'm supposed to feel bad for him. I don't know. But, like, in that moment I did, I'm like, who put you down here?
Yeah.
Who did that to you?
Well, yeah, because he looked so, like, frazzled and scared. Like,
and when he came out, he was so surprised by and confused by everything, which leads me to believe he must have been down there for a while. Because when the guy was like, it's a shower, you use it to clean yourself with, he was looking like, I don't know what to do with this. What is this? And so it's like, has he never seen a shower? How long has he been down there? And it was really interesting to catch the bucket of cigarettes.
Yeah.
And you see her comparing them to one she finds in the warden's office. And that's what tipped me off to that. But I was like, really? So he knew I for some reason just thought that he appeared down there. And that was it.
Yeah.
While the new warden was also down there, she found that box, and it was all of his fingernail clippings.
Yeah.
And that was a lot. So he must have been down there for a long time.
And, like, you see that, and it's like, okay, so maybe whoever put him down there was kind of taking care of him. I mean, not really. You locked him up in a cage, but, you know, trying to keep him.
I noticed a pot in there with a lid on it. Is that where he was going to the bathroom? Type thing, you know?
Ew. That's another thing. I didn't even think about that.
You feel so, and it's funny, because you're right. Are you supposed to feel bad for him? I don't know, but I do.
Yeah.
Because that's terrible.
Because this is how we are being introduced to this character.
Right.
Is that he is literally not just a prisoner. Like, he is a caged prisoner. He is not getting meals. He is not getting self-care in any shape. Like, he is dark and alone and very isolated.
Yeah. We're like, yeah.
So bad.
So, I mean, obviously, at this point in the show, like, we feel bad for him. We're kind of trying to figure out how long has he been in there. And then in episode 2, it becomes a little bit more clear as to why he's down there. We realize that the previous warden, Dale Lacey, kept him down there.
Because he thought he found the devil.
Yeah.
And he could, and I'm so This is what piqued my interest. I'm so curious as to what led him to that conclusion, and where did he find this kid? Mm-hmm. Is this actually somebody's kid that's been missing for years because he found him, or is he literally a devil incarnate that he found somewhere? I mean, I don't know. I want to know.
Exactly, because, like, if you believe he's the devil, he has to have done something that makes you justify your reasoning for wanting to keep him locked up.
Right.
But we don't know that. We just know that he does believe he's the devil, he's something's the devil. Going on.
And I feel like there has to be something up with him, because he goes into a cell with that swastika prisoner, mm-hmm. and he says, "You don't want to touch me." And then the guy dies of cancer. Like, you don't, he's like, "I'm surprised he even walked into the cell." Like, you don't go in, a relatively healthy, I guess, physically man, and then suddenly die of cancer. That's a slow, mm-hmm. so there's something up with him, but we don't know what, or if it's intentional. Maybe it's not intentional.
See, I liked that part of the series in the sense that, like, when the one guard opens up the solitary mm-hmm. prison, and I don't know why, but I was expecting it to be more of a violent murder. I knew that he yeah. was going to be dead, but I thought it would be more violent. Mm-hmm. But as we come to learn, it was something obviously more supernatural.
Right. Which I found interesting as well. I thought the exact same thing. I thought he was going to have his throat cut or be, they were going to walk in, there's just blood everywhere. Mm-hmm.
Something I noticed earlier with the little mouse, which I think is a reference to the Green Mile, if you've seen that. But the mouse kills himself, and I don't think they would make that a point if it wasn't important. So mm-hmm. I definitely mm-hmm. think that he is doing something and messing and manipulating with their minds, like how he does with the one guard, where he makes yeah. them think that he killed everybody in there and completely shook him up. So something spooky and supernatural is going on with Bill.
Yeah, and it's very interesting because I wonder if he's aware of what he's doing. Like, he's mm-hmm. still very much a mystery, but because he's, like, so nervous and scared.
And timid.
And timid. Yeah. Like, you wonder if you, in a sense, he might be, because he told the guy who ended up dying, like, stay away from me. So right. he might be aware. So maybe he's aware, but he can't control it. And he doesn't want bad things to happen, but it's just mm-hmm. what happens when people are around him.
And he right. doesn't know the full extent of his powers yet, mm-hmm. I think, mm-hmm. also.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's been locked in a cage for however many years, so he probably has just been maybe doing it to rats that yep. whole time. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's... Oof.
Yeah, no, there's definitely a lot going on with him.
And we have how many episodes?
10.
Mm-hmm. 10. Okay, so we have 8 more to explore this. Oh my god, I'm so mm-hmm. excited, you guys.
Yeah. But, mm-hmm. You know, speaking about exploring, we have a ton more content for you to explore. I'm going to throw it over to Zia, who can give you a little bit more about that.
All right. Hey, AfterBuzzers. Our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows. All of them. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there is no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. And by subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because they're optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments, and we'll thank you on air. For now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV Talk.
And I know Zia was just talking right now about following us and watching us on YouTube. However, if you cannot, we are also on iTunes. So you can go to iTunes, download our show, listen to it, give us a review, give us a rating. We also know you're out there, and we also look to see your reviews and your yeah. comments. So, you know, you have 2 great options to watch our show.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about the moment the Shawshank prisoner asks for Henry Deaver, and kind of let's talk about Henry and all of his past a little bit more. So we know that Henry was previously a resident of Castle Rock, mm-hmm. and he's now practicing law for inmates on death row in Texas. And he has a troubled past, clearly, because, you know, people in Shawshank don't like him because he was the adoptive son of the kind of pastor he mm-hmm. did by like the pastor of the town who did Bible study at the prison, and they believe that he is in some way, shape, or form connected to his murder mm-hmm. because he ended up disappearing and then reappearing. But I mean, somehow, some way, Henry was able to come out of that situation because now he is an adult. He has a very great a great job in the sense that he's a lawyer.
He's a very accomplished.
He's a very yeah. accomplished lawyer. And, you know, so he seems to be doing pretty well for himself. But then he gets the call from Mickey. What's his character name, April?
Zalewski is the last name, I believe. I wrote that down because I was like, I can't. I kept doing the same thing.
Like calling him by his character name from another show.
And I love seeing him in a different role, by the way. I thought that was so cool to see him in a different, because I've only ever seen him in that. Mm-hmm. And he has such a distinct character in that, and it's such a different character in this. I really like that, showing off his acting chops.
Well, we'll probably talk about him a little bit more, but just a quick note, I really do like how he is, you know, he's the person who is trying to connect this Shawshank prisoner with Henry.
Right, he's really trying to do the right thing, because he hears them being like, we're gonna just, you know, get rid of him, we're gonna make it all go away, and he's like, this poor guy. Absolutely not.
The actor is Noel Fisher.
Yeah. But, like, his character name was, like, Zalewski, and, like...
Dennis Zalewski.
Dennis
Zalewski. I looked it up, but, like, again, for the life of me, I was always referring to him by his other character. So I will make sure I remember that next time. So Henry gets this call. He obviously finds it very concerning and very peculiar. So he ends up coming home to his mom, who's played by the lovely Sissy Spacek.
Yeah. That was a sad moment, though. Mm-hmm. When you realize the look on his face, he must not have known how bad it had gotten, because he was so sad and taken aback by the fact that she didn't remember who he was.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a bummer to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder, I mean, obviously he, like, mentions how he set up home care for her because he knew something was happening with her. But it's also kind of sad that, you know, maybe this town has scarred him so much in a way that it's very hard for him to return, even to take care of his mother.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Something I found interesting was that they say that she's good in the morning, like she remembers his birthday and bakes him a little cake, but then she gets really bad at night, how she said that she thought she saw the dog that's been dead rummaging around in the garbage, which I found that very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so, Henry comes home to visit his mom, and he finds out that there's some kind of flirtationship or canoodling going on between his mother.
Definitely some canoodling.
And, like, the ex-sheriff, right? He's no longer the current sheriff.
Yeah, I believe he's retired, but he's the one that found him.
Yeah, Alan Pangborn is the one who found him when he disappeared. And I thought their interaction was very interesting because it seemed like there was a lot of tension, but I would have thought that maybe they would be a little bit like each other a little bit more because of, you know, him going out and finding him and rescuing him.
Mm-hmm. I thought the exact same thing. And so I'm thinking now there must be more after that we haven't seen yet that we'll uncover of maybe he also thought he was guilty and was with the rest of the town. Because as soon as he walked back into the town, boy, that town does not forget. He's walking down the street and that big man goes, he goes, oh, murderer, like, as he's walking by. So the town completely turned on him, which explains why it's so hard for him to come back. Like, that's understandable. So maybe that happened with the sheriff as well.
However, we know one person who does not hate him. Very clearly, she does not hate him. Molly, as we see in her flashbacks, was very obsessed, like scribbling his name a bunch of times
so
in her notebook.
So many times. I've seen it before where girls write, you know, their name with their last name or their one name with a heart on it on their notebook, but she kept doing it over and over. I was like, woman, calm down.
And what we learn about her is, like, she has social anxiety, she has drug problems, and I'm very interested to see what we get out of her this season, and, like, if she's going to assist Henry in anything that's going on, or, like, if she's gonna kind of be more behind the scenes. Did this town hurt her, too? I mean, she's still there, but was she burned, in a sense, by this town as well?
Yeah, and she doesn't seem like she's doing very well. And she made a reference to having possible, like, psychic powers.
Yeah, and, like, visions. So she takes drugs to calm them.
Which I'm curious to see if she actually is crazy, or if that's true and just nobody believes her.
Well, something that I found interesting is because she says she has those powers, it honestly might be the drugs talking, but as we see with Dale Lacey and his monologue in the beginning of episode 2, something about living in Castle Rock does something to you. We see this montage of, you know, people, you know, sadly killing each other, something's happening.
Bodies being found.
Which is a reference to Stand By Me when he says that he found a body by the train, which I really enjoyed that reference.
See, I'm so glad that you're picking up on this.
That's on the list.
But we see that something is happening about this town, and that might also be connected to why Dale believes that Shawshank Prisoner is the devil, and mm-hmm. it might be his fault, but it also might be in relation to the town. So it's going to be interesting to see if, like, she is, in a sense, hallucinating because of the drugs, or if it's also in response to the town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I'm curious to see that as well.
Mm-hmm. And I wonder if, I also just wonder if, like, it happened to Henry, too, or if it will happen to Henry down the line.
Mm-hmm. Or if it also happened to Dale, Lacey, and that's why he killed himself.
Yeah.
Like, if that's what drove him to that. Because everybody's mm-hmm. like, why did he do it? He had this amazing severance package. He left his blind wife alive at home.
I know, so sad.
Yeah, he made her breakfast in bed and then kissed her and went to go kill himself. Mm-hmm. Which I understand, you know, depression and that. You know, sometimes none of that matters. But it's just interesting here because he went so long. Maybe the town finally got him.
He does make, I don't think I'm saying this 100% accurately, but he does say something along the lines kind of towards the end of the second episode mm-hmm. where he writes a letter to Pangborn.
Yes.
And basically kind of telling him his reasoning why the prisoner was in that cage. And he says something along the lines of, like, God didn't tell me how guilty I would feel. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering, to your point, Zia, if it was the town or if he just felt massive guilt that he couldn't do it anymore. And he felt he couldn't be forgiven and take back what he had already done to the prisoner.
Right.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. A lot to think about here.
Yeah. Guys, there's so much.
I know. It's really, like, playing with my head is like, is it this way? Is it this way? Because they really bring in all these scenarios where there are so many, like, perfect routes that they could go down.
Yes.
And that would make sense.
And it's interesting, too, because that's what I mean with the instant gratification. I love that. That was another thing. When Pangborn went to go see the current warden and warned her, like, he went into this story, and I was like, okay, where is he going with this? And he finally gets the point, and he's like, don't let that kid out of the cage. And I was like, how did he know that?
Like,
and
why then, not?
Yeah, tell me. And so we get to the end of the episode, and you read that letter, and you're like, oh, that's why. I love that. I love that they're giving us a little mystery, and then they're giving us the answer, but still more mystery. So you want to mm-hmm. keep watching, but you're still finding out stuff. I love that.
Mm-hmm. And I also do like, because he does make that comment of, like, he didn't tell me how guilty I would feel. I kind of like that we do have a character in this series that doesn't want to feel guilty,
right.
Which is Zawulski. My gosh. I'm so sorry, everyone.
It's a hard name to say.
I'll just call him Dennis. His first name is Dennis, right? Yeah?
Yes, I believe
so. I'll just call him Dennis. But no, yeah, Dennis, I feel like, is that character that I think Lacey maybe would have wanted to be. Because mm-hmm. no one in this prison, like, they feel like it will be a PR disaster if it got out that there was this prisoner that was just left alone in a cage with no idea of how he got there. And he's the only one who wants to kind of help this guy and connect him with Henry to try and figure out, like, what's going on, what's their right. connection. Mm-hmm. But even he's, like, very worried about it because he's got a baby on the way.
Mm-hmm. It's the only job in town, it seems.
Yeah, he made that comment of, like, mm-hmm. if there was a Walmart, you know, 40 miles from here, you know I wouldn't be here.
Right. He'd work literally anywhere else, including Walmart.
Exactly.
Just saying something.
A good chunk of characters throughout the series does make a point that corrections is very difficult.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. And I think the warden mm-hmm. said they make $9 an hour.
My gosh.
That's crazy. I mean, I know it's a small town and the cost of living isn't as high as, say, L.A., but still, $9 an hour.
Like, that's not...
I don't think you could live on that.
I really don't think you can.
With a baby?
No. No. I really don't think you can. Like, all of these houses have to be like, oh, here, we're just going to give you this house.
Yeah, here you go. Just pay for food.
Yeah, because that's pretty much all you could buy.
Yeah.
$9 an hour. Gosh.
These are the things you think about as an adult. When you hear these things in shows, you're like, wait, that's not enough. Mm-hmm. As a kid, they just go right over your head. Yeah, that's another thing. I just had this thought. That's another thing when he... Because I was wondering, why did he... So he killed himself, and he told him, when they find you, make sure you ask for Henry Deaver. Is that another thing? Maybe that was his guilt being like, I can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. We have to get this kid out of here somewhere. I can't just be his warden and leave him in this cage.
Yeah.
So he knew he would be found and knew he would be released. But, and I keep wanting to call the other Pangborn. I keep wanting to call him Stick because he's also from the Defenders. Okay. And Daredevil. Mm-hmm. And so he wants him to sort of keep an eye on things, but why did he let him out? Mm-hmm. He still killed himself knowing that he would be released. So yeah. I'm so curious.
I know. I'm very curious on why Lacey wants Henry back in town.
Yeah.
Maybe it has to do something with what happened to Henry when he was a little kid, and maybe he was more directly involved than we think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. It's definitely a lot to think about. But Henry is very determined to get together with a Shawshank prisoner because, you know, why else would he be summoned back? But they will not let him anywhere near him, they being, like, the new warden mm-hmm. and the manager guy that's always with her.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out who he is.
Mm-hmm. But they won't let him near Shawshank prisoner just because, like, again, it would be a PR nightmare. So I really enjoy the part where Dennis was like, oh, you need a God's miracle to get you in that prison. And he's like, I'm going to go do Bible study with everybody.
That mm-hmm. was perfect.
Yeah.
It was.
You need a God's miracle.
It was such a good transition. I was really all for it. And then finally, you know, we see that moment where they do kind of meet up. Like that woman throws Shawshank out into the field and they kind of have that moment. And I found that interesting because it was clearly a moment of connection, and I might have missed it. I don't necessarily remember if Henry knows what Shawshank Prisoner looks like, but Shawshank Prisoner, as far as I can tell, definitely shouldn't know what Henry looks like.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was, like, a very interesting moment where it was, like, I don't want to say love at first sight, but it's like, you know that moment where it's, like, you know that's the person?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's the connection there.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. he looked right at him, and he said, Henry Deaver? Mm-hmm. And that's when he started taking pictures. Smart man.
Yeah, I was watching that, and like there was a guard right behind him, and I'm like, oh.
I was thinking that too. I'm like, is he gonna let him do that, or is he gonna stop him? But nope.
No, we just let him get away with it. I found that kind of funny because I'm just like, I don't think that would actually happen. Like the guard would say, like, delete it or take his phone or something. Mm-hmm. But then obviously the guards bring him back in, which I also found interesting. They like threw him out there just to bring him back in.
Yeah, mm-hmm. literally 1 minute later. I thought that was odd too. I was like, why? And mm-hmm. I also thought it was odd that they let him out in the first place. Mm-hmm. I thought that they threw him into the cell with that other man with the intention of that man killing him. Mm-hmm. And just so they don't have to deal with it anymore. Because he kept saying, do you want me to make it disappear? And obviously we knew he was, you know, swastika. I keep calling him Swastika Man. Swastika Man was going to... He had so many. So terrible. That he was going to disappear. And that he was going to kill him. But he ended up killing, you know, Swastika Man instead. And I kept thinking that they were just going to try to kill him or keep him in there. I'm surprised that they let him out at all. Instead of just keeping him locked in solitary. That's solitary, where they put him. Yeah. Yeah. Keeping him locked in solitary. But you're right. It was odd. They threw him out and then took him right back in. Mm-hmm.
So we got so much in these two episodes alone. But do you ladies have any final thoughts on what you saw?
I'll let you go.
I have more final wonderings than anything.
And we will get into those when we get into predictions. But before we get into predictions, let's talk about our special segment, which were our Easter eggs that Easter we were eggs. Hot on the look for. Now, again, I feel like a lot of the Easter eggs I kind of noticed were ones that maybe weren't necessarily meant to be Easter eggs, which was, like, you know, the fact that Bill Skarsgård, who played Pennywise, mm-hmm. was down below the street surface, essentially, and, mm-hmm. like, that was what Pennywise was in the sewer. And then another one I noticed, and again, this one was kind of very obvious, was when Henry was searching through Dale Lacey's files and newspaper clippings, and you see just the headline, like, rabid dog.
Yes.
I was like, it's definitely Cujo.
It's Cujo.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. And I believe, Zia and April, you also noticed a few as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, right out of the front gate, when the new warden is walking through and the guy says, you can still see the bullet hole, which is a reference to Shawshank Redemption when mm-hmm. the one other warden kills himself. Mm-hmm. And then there's the character Jackie Torrance, who, I mean, in The Shining, the guy's name is Jack Torrance, which I find that so weird that they would put the names so close together, like mm-hmm. Jack and Jackie, but I thought that was interesting, and I'm excited to see if they bring in, like, anything else about Jack Torrance.
I was gonna say, I wonder if Jackie Torrance is basically just gonna be the female version of Jack Torrance, like, if she's gonna display some kind of the same attributes as mm-hmm. him.
Yeah.
I looked that up, and that was on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
That's, yeah, so we'll... see more things. I actually did look some up to see, you know, and if we're missing any, let us know in chat. So, mm-hmm. you know, we can catch them all. The first one, it actually starts off with the song when Dale Lacey is killing him, you know, driving mm-hmm. off the cliff into his death. The song playing is the song that Andy Dufresne plays when he locks himself on the roof in The Shawshank Redemption. Mm. So that was one of them. And then obviously we know Bill Skarsgård was Pennywise in It, and Sissy Spacek plays Carrie in Carrie. And then also Melanie Lynskey, who plays the one that's obsessed with...
Molly.
Yes, Molly. Is in Rose Red. Mm. That was another Stephen King movie, so they've got that as well.
This was just like one big reunion or like one big party for anyone who had really participated in a Stephen King adaptation. Mm-hmm. And I love that.
Yeah.
I do. It's really, really great.
Yeah, that was so cool.
Were there...
There were any a more? Few more. Mm-hmm. When Dale Lacey asks about the Strangler, he's referencing The Dead Zone. So, and then you caught the Cujo, the dog, is referencing Cujo. And you also caught the train tracks, Stand By Me. That was one. Oh, here's a good one. So the only character taken directly from any of Stephen King's books is Alan Pangborn.
I had seen that. Yeah.
He is the sheriff of Castle Rock in The Dark Half and in Needful Things. Did I write that down right? My goodness. Can't even read my own handwriting. and so in The Dark Half, he's played by Michael Rooker and Ed Harris in Needful Things. Mm. And then the last one is Nan's Luncheonette, the one that burned down. That was also around for It and Needful Things.
Mm-hmm.
So I think
that was quite a bit.
Yeah, they had a lot in there.
If any of you watching our show are huge Stephen King fans and have read the books or follow along with his works very closely, let us know how many of those you caught, like, right off the bat. Because, like, I noticed some, Zia noticed some, April noticed some, but we also had to, like, look back because we were sure, you know, we had missed some.
There were more, yeah.
But if you caught them, like, let us know. Like, that's definitely, like, a great, like, a really cool thing that you can just, like, notice all of that.
Yeah.
So thank you, ladies, for the Easter eggs. I'm sure there are more to come now. Mm-hmm. Zia, you obviously mentioned you have a lot more final thoughts. So, that being said, let us get into some predictions.
So spooky.
I feel like staying spooky is so perfect for this after show.
It is, yes.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I completely like lost my train of thought.
I know, bright lights.
That's what I was going to say. Also, to anyone watching our after show, we are only covering episodes 1 and 2, so we have not seen episode 3 yet, so any predictions we make is solely based on the fact of what we saw in episode 2. In terms of predictions, I don't know, it's more like curiosity. Like, I'm very curious if Alan Pangborn truly believes everything that Dale Lacey is saying about the Shawshank prisoner.
Mm-hmm. And I'm curious as to why.
Mm-hmm.
Did Dale Lacey give him any proof?
Yeah.
Like, that's the big one for me. Or is he just taking his word on it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm also hoping that, I think, obviously, Henry has to be in connection with Shawshank Prisoner. Mm-hmm. I'm really hoping that in the next episode or even the next couple of episodes, they decide to let him work with him. If not, then he's definitely going, like, super detective and trying to figure out what's up with this guy and, like, why he requested mm-hmm. him.
He's very determined, and mm-hmm. I like that. I'm also curious to see if the warden is going to let him, now that he has the photos and has seen his client, as he keeps referring him to, if mm-hmm. she's going to let him in. Or if that's going to be something that he's going to have to find more trickery.
Yeah.
Something I'm super excited for is for Molly to finally talk to Henry after all this time.
Yeah.
Is she still going to be super creepy? Or is she going to be more
chill?
She is so
cuckoo bananas for him. I love
still
it.
Still staring out the window.
Yeah. And then she, like, drives and she's like, when she sees him on the bus.
I feel like she's definitely, regardless of what role she plays, I definitely predict that she is going to be protective of him. Because we saw that she was protective mm-hmm. of him when the cop came in. Regardless, maybe she didn't know anything, but even if she did, I don't think she would have sold him out.
She kind of looked like she did know something. Just by the fact that she really didn't want to talk about it, she mm-hmm. wouldn't show her face, and she had that tear.
Mm-hmm.
She maybe has his secrets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But
maybe
I definitely...
that's a prediction.
I definitely do predict that she's going to be a protector of his throughout the series, and I am ready to watch all of that.
As soon as we go home, guys, episode 3.
I know, I'm already, like, planning on it. It's so great. All right, well, any final predictions?
I'm just super excited to really see what the prisoner is and if, like, he does have supernatural powers, or are we just assuming that he does and he's just this normal guy? But I think he's gonna end up being... something's up with him. But I definitely find his storyline the most compelling so far.
Yes, I do agree with you. There's so much going on with them, and I cannot wait to see more of them and see where all of their storyline goes.
Yes.
But on that note, that is unfortunately all the time that we have today, ladies. Where can this lovely group of people find you on the internet?
Oh, hey. You can find me on Instagram. It's Zia_land. It's XIA _LAND. I have a Twitter, but there's nothing on it.
I also have a Twitter, but there's lots on it. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at April13Dawn.
And are you both currently doing any other shows here at AfterBuzz that you want to promote?
This Sunday, I will be on Marvel TV Weekly. Mm-hmm. And I know we'll be talking about some of our favorite comic book storylines. So if you want to check that out, come see us at 10 p.m.
Yeah. And this is all I'm doing. I'm dedicating all my love and attention for this show.
Yeah. So be sure to tune in all the time. And I'm your host, Veronica Valenti. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @itsmeveronica_B. You can also catch me Mondays on the Attack on Titan after show at 7, Tuesdays on the Outpost after show at 9, and Wednesdays, obviously, here at 7 p.m. Pacific time. We are here every week. We are so excited to be here on this after show, and we can't wait to talk more. So stick around and be sure to tune in next Wednesday when we cover episodes 3 and 4. So until then, see you later.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
From executive producers Maria Menounos,
the views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.